Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Leroy, you mentioned something to me now, and we're getting ready to come back on, about the way that Toronto handled Kawhi's return.
Oh, it was really cool.
And I thought that shows the fan base they have. I would think that we have, you know, I don't think people in this town are anti-LeBron really as a whole. Team Petty
died. It hasn't been a thing in 4 years. We're not Team Petty anymore.
Yeah, and I don't, I'll be honest
what?
With you. I don't think we ever were. I think it was a small percentage that tried to represent the full Heat fan. But most Heat fans I know, man, they wouldn't slander LeBron as far as the player he is and what the impact he had. They may say, like, it stinks that he left. Of course it stinks.
They always cheer him, even when he does play, which is rare.
You know what I tell?
Whether he plays or not.
I tell Tobin this. I'm like, listen, you sound like the jilted girlfriend or boyfriend when you say, it's not the fact that he left. It's how he left. No, it's the fact that he left.
Yeah.
So stop.
If he had some proper presentation.
It wouldn't suck if he left.
He still left.
Right.
It doesn't matter. He still left.
Right.
But he still gave us four great years. And I will say this, and it was brought up to me, and I kind of agree. I've been covering the Heat now. I got to Channel 10 in 99. So you'd look at 21 years or so. And I got here when it was, you know, the Zoe and Timmy were coming together and those teams. And then you went into the other teams after that where you got, obviously, Wade eventually and the Brian Grant, Lamar Odom, the young guys in the Shaq years and the big three. So we've seen, as basketball fans in this town, 20 years of really good basketball. I mean, outside of a year or two. The last couple of years have been a little mediocre. But Leroy, true or false, and Robbie, you could obviously chime in on this as well. Outside of the big three, which you'll never compare to any, I don't know if we'll ever have an era like that in any kind of basketball, certainly for the Heat. But is this the most fun you've had watching games? Is this the funnest, most entertaining as far as just entertainment value night in and night out that the Heat have had? Or do you still think those Zoe, Timmy, grind it out, win 88?
I do miss that.
I think that's the most important thing, and that's what's the most fun, because this is the closest thing to the big three with all the high flying, the running, the gunning, the moving, while still playing suffocating defense. This is the closest thing that the Heat have had since then. Right. Because, you know, you remember LeBron and D Wade, you remember the three, they didn't have as good 3-point shooting, but the long passes, the fast breaks, the dunks, you know, the blocks from behind, all those things. And you're starting to see a lot of that now. Plus, all of the guys are likable. There's really not anybody on this team where you would say, you know what, he's a bum, just get rid of him.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, Deion Waiters, that he
went. Nah, but they, look, they're not saying he's a bum. They want to get rid of him just because.
Let me say, though, let's say Deion comes into a game, starts, but people will cheer him. People love it.
Right.
No, I think we don't think Deion Waiters is a bum. I just think the Heat don't view him the same way as we do.
That's because they have options.
Yeah,
look, you know what? Here's what happens with players. And this happens in a lot of teams and organizations, right? You know why? Remember when, Jonas? The kid that ran for 200 yards with the
Jonas Gray
ran for 200 yards, and then the next week he was late for a meeting and they cut him. You know why they could do that? Because they had another running back behind him. If he was the only running back, Jonas would have been back. That's how things work. Like, you look at the Heat, right? They have three guys that do what Deion does. So they can do this.
Well, Kendrick Nunn is kind of the new Deion in the sense that, you know, he's not afraid to attack. He's not afraid to take the shot in the big moment. He's not afraid to take, you know, to be a high-volume guy, but he does it within the framework of what the team is asking, and he certainly doesn't have an attitude about it. And I'm not saying Deion does. I'm just saying Deion has obviously gotten on the wrong side of things right now with the team, and they're trying to figure things out. And I could be wrong. Look, and I've been wrong many times before. I still think Deion at some point this season will have to play
a role
on this team.
Yeah, I do,
too. It's a long year. Guys get hurt. We've already seen a lot of that going on.
I do, too, especially, you know what, it's weird because they went from, I guess, going down a road to replace Deion because they maybe thought maybe they couldn't depend on him mm-hmm. enough. And now they have a bunch of guys that do it.
Yeah.
You know, and you can't tell me when this season started that you thought Kendrick Nunn was going to be this.
Not this.
So
not this.
So from that standpoint, they got lucky too. Because if Kendrick Nunn was just, you know, say a guy coming off the bench that may get you 10 to 15 and not doing what he does, then Deion, they need Deion more.
Yeah, well, Kendrick has certainly been a revelation. He's been incredible, and hopefully he'll be a force tomorrow night, which is, of course, part of our headlines with that big game coming up against the Lakers.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a Radio.com sports station.
That's right, Will. It is tomorrow night, the war on South Beach.
Oh, Robbie's got it. Are they going to get shirts? Are we getting printed?
They should make shirts.
The war on South Beach.
The Lakers come to town tomorrow
night. You think the Lakers are thinking, here.
You know what the Lakers
Let me ask you a question.
What the Lakers are thinking now? Where's my hotel room? Hold on, I'm just rolling in. They got in last night. They're going, what room am I in?
You think, here, it's only a war if the other team thinks the same thing.
Well, they're not ready for the war then.
They're not ready
then
for
the
battle.
Then they're going to get their ass kicked.
They're going to lose. That's spoken like the loser of a battle. That's what it's like. Go sell your shirts, Robbie. Go ahead.
Oh, boy. What is wrong with you?
That's a long answer for them.
Yeah.
7 o'clock tomorrow night at the American Airlines Arena.
7 o'clock.
It's not 8 o'clock. I know you checked the refrigerator. It's going to say 8 o'clock. There's not 8 o'clock anymore. They moved it to 7 o'clock.
Because it's not on Fox.
Well, it was always on ESPN. It was just the second game with the doubleheader. It got swapped out.
Do people still have refrigerator magnets that they really go by? I wonder, because I put mine on and I don't really pay attention to them, but they're there.
It's because it's a magnet. You put it on your refrigerator.
Because it looks cool. But if I need to check a time, I'll probably just go on my phone, Robbie. But if for those that check refrigerator magnet schedules, it's 7 o'clock, not 8 o'clock.
Robbie probably has one for every team in the NBA.
It's like a full refrigerator. The Marlins one's the best one because it's a big fat one.
Oh, yeah.
Put 162 games like it. And you got like a magnifying glass to see, is that a home game and when? Yeah. Go ahead, Robbie.
And by the way, we are well aware that our signal is having some issues right now, but you can still listen to us on the radio.com
Robbie,
app.
Hold on. Wait. Hey, am I the only one that gets this? If our signal's on, who the heck can hear you, Robbie?
The people listening on the radio.com app.
But they're already on the radio.com app.
Well, I'm just addressing the elephant in the room, or the elephant that's not in the room because our signal's out.
He goes, I do realize.
Wait, our signal is out officially?
Yeah, I do realize that the signal is out, but if you can't hear us, you could just go to radio.com.
For those of you listening right now that can't hear us.
Right. And then he said, and then he tried to backtrack. He pulled the Manny because then he said, well, no, I'm just saying that for the people on radio.com app. They're already in there.
We better get our signal back soon because we got 50 minutes of heat coming up soon, right?
Yes, and then we got Ira
Winderman, which we're going to talk plenty of heat. So we got to get that thing going. Get on it, Robbie. Can't you fix it?
I made a call. Nothing you can do from here. But also we got the Panthers. They're back in action tonight at the BB&T Center, taking on the New York Islanders. That game's at 7 o'clock. The original Panthers a refrigerator schedule would have it at 7 o'clock too. And there was no change on that one.
No change.
Hey,
on
did
one.
We do we give all our tickets away?
Yeah, for the Panthers. Okay. Yes, we're all capped out on Panthers.
Well, it's a good thing because if we had it, nobody's hearing them to give them away right now.
Oh yeah, so, who's gonna hear us?
He's gonna. Yeah, I'm sure the texts aren't flowing in either. So what are we doing this for? We're doing this for ourselves. For self-improvement.
And we're still on the streams. We could technically get away with cursing because we're on the stream. We're not on the signal. But let's not do that.
I'm staying out of that one. I'm staying out of that one.
Let's call Masvidal. Let's see what
he's
up to.
Oh, my goodness.
Wait, did he curse on there?
What?
Oh, I'm saying, did he have a moment here on
Yes.
Sunday?
Yes. Multiple times.
Every time.
I didn't hear that one. So wait, tell me what happened.
Give me just the curses.
He like broke our dump
curses.
On. Well, let me tell you something. That's the thing with Jimmy Butler. I remember.
Oh,
Jimmy,
yeah.
Oh my goodness,
Jimmy, you got to watch him. I was joking with Jax. I'm like, man, those winner circles interviews. Like, they gotta get that button ready. Technically, Fox Sports Sun, they can get away with it. They're not under the same like framework as far as like Channel 10. You know, Channel 10 if Jimmy's doing live. But still, you know, you want the kids watching stuff like that. You want to watch the. So the other day, a lot of the stuff we do now at Channel 10 is, we talked earlier about the instant access. It's for social media. So you get heat practice at 11 a.m. The news isn't until 4 o'clock. So instead of sitting on
you just put it
hours,
on your...
You put a clip on social media and say, hey, here's what Jimmy Butler, here's what Spo said today. He practiced about the game, blah, blah, blah. So the other day, my producer, this is about a month or two ago, he post a clip of Jimmy Butler, and within seconds, he texts me. He goes, "Hey man, did you see the clip I just posted on our Channel 10 sports site about Jimmy Butler?" I said, No. He's like, "Go on Twitter, check it out. I think he may have cursed." And I said, "What do you mean? You may have either cursed or he didn't?" I said, "I don't know, because he just said it so fast." And I listened to it, and Jimmy's so quick in his cursing that he actually, and obviously I'm not going to say what he said, but he said MF, basically, so you put it together. But he said it under his breath. He's like, that. MF is so, but he said it so quickly that it was almost like you heard it, like you didn't hear it, but it was there. He cursed. So that's how quick you have to be to watch some of it. It's just, it's part of his vocabulary, just the way he's so lucid and free. He talks that way.
By the way, 104 HD2
yeah,
is
HD2
working.
Still works. HD2 still works.
For those of you that can't hear us that are listening, if you want to flip on over to HD, what is it now?
104.3 HD2.
104.3 HD2 FM. Boy, we're really making things complex this morning to listen to 790 The Ticket. This wouldn't happen with Tobin's in. It's only when I'm in. we've got a look. See that? This guy's telling me we can hear your radio signal is working perfectly fine. I just got a 24 seconds ago from Jack. Thank you, Jack. See? Oh, that means we must be back. We must be back.
We've been kicking this down the road a lot, Will Manzo.
Talk to
this,
me.
The Barry Jackson piece.
Tell me now. Tell it to me now. I want to hear it because I haven't. I love Barry's work. Barry does a great job. He writes so much that it's sometimes hard to keep up with everything he writes. The guy is nonstop. He works so hard. So go ahead.
He does repost the same articles like hours later.
But he tricks you, though.
He does.
You put a different headlines. Like, I'm working with Leroy Horde today. Here, click here, listen to more. Hey, do you know what Leroy Horde has to say? Here, click and listen to more. Hey, do you know Leroy Horde? Click here, listen to more. Is it all the same Leroy Horde? He's saying the same thing every time. Go ahead, Robbie.
Well, it was pretty alarming. This is only part one, by the way, of his three-part series. The other two parts have not been released yet.
Three-part series on what?
On why the Miami Hurricanes are in this 15-year rut of mediocrity, nonstop hamster wheel. And he puts out some alarming stats about it. It starts with recruiting that, most of the top players, you see a lot of NFL players from Miami, but not at the University of Miami. He says coaches told him most of the top players from South Florida schools continue to bypass UM, and meeting analysts and coaches don't see that changing, not when the Canes cannot beat FIU or Duke, let alone crack the top 25. And then here's some stats to back that up.
Okay.
They've only gotten the top recruit in Dade County three times since 2012. They haven't gotten the top recruit in Broward County since Tracy Howard, also in 2012. And in last year's recruiting cycle, out of the top 20 prospects from Miami-Dade County, the Canes only got 3 out of 20 in last year's recruiting class.
You're saying this is the first time I'm hearing all this. But my thing is, I would like to see a follow-up to those numbers. And how often are those recruits really become incredible? Like you said, Tracy Howard. Tracy Howard was a solid college player. But I mean, it wasn't like an impactful change to the game player. So even when you tell me that, it doesn't really, doesn't really hit me. Like, for instance, a Lamar Jackson. Where did he go to school? Deerfield or Pompano, in that area up there?
Boynton, I thought.
Yeah, Boynton, maybe that's where it was. He's from, it's North Broward, South Palm Beach County, whatever the case may be. Was he a top recruit? I mean, was he, how did that work out? You see guys all over the country from our area, and not all of them are the top recruit in the country. I could deal with that excuse a little bit.
Here's what I'll say. There's been a lot of these situations for me in recent history. A kid wanted to come here, and Miami didn't want him.
You do hear those stories from other programs.
And that drives me crazy. Okay?
According to Rivals, first off, Lamar Jackson was a three-star recruit from Boynton Beach Community High School. And of the top six schools, Louisville, Florida, Mississippi State, Nebraska all gave him, they have the offer checkmarked mm-hmm. next to him. And then right underneath, it's Miami, but does not have the offer check underneath.
Well, here's what I'll say about that.
And I understand.
You're in no.
I know you can play that game with a lot of players.
Here's what I'll say about that. You know what? Sometimes to get close to the hot chick, you got to be nice to the ugly chick. So that means that when you go into these schools, sometimes you might have to give a scholarship to a three-star because the five-star is coming and mm-hmm. you want that relationship. You're not going to have a relationship if none of the kids go to your school. You see what I mean? So where on God's green earth does Miami think they are where they can pick
No, and now, you know, I think another two, and I don't know how much more Barry's going to delve into. Knowing Barry, he will delve into a lot of other issues if you're saying
it's only part one.
Yeah, I was going to say. Another thing, too, Leroy, is, and this is my, again, this is, it's hard to quantify it with numbers, but I don't think Miami's done a good job at developing whatever talent, whether you're 3, 4, 5.
That's also,
I don't think they've developed the talent they've had. You can give me a 3-star guy and develop it. Mm-hmm. You're telling me Lamar Jackson was a 3-star guy. Well, he went over and he's a 10-star guy now. You know, you can make
he
up
won
a new
Heisman.
Category. You can
so
make
clearly
up
a, you were wrong.
Yeah. You can
get
make
out
up
of
a
here.
Category.
Are you yelling at me?
So no, I'm just saying. I'm
Robbie,
just...
you were no, you, but whoever was wrong, and it happens at every program, but you can't go by numbers. If you got a guy that you think is talented, right, that fits your system,
right, just give him a scholarship.
Give him a scholarship, like and then help him develop.
Here, you
use
have
him the
more.
Way you need to.
But here's the issue: the reason why it's good for kids to go to local school is because you have more access to those kids. You see them more than other guys. A lot of times, teams only start recruiting them when they get on the map. Mm-hmm. Okay, but you. Being around high school football in the area, in the Tri-County area, you have access to all of college football. You have access to coaches. You have access to – if you don't use that to get the upper hand on these players, like wait, there's three guys from South Florida that play for Utah.
The Hollandale Trio.
Oh, yeah. I was watching that game was on Channel 10 the other night. And they had them spotlighted,
right.
The three guys.
Now, I'm not – this is not a knock against Utah. But I'm going to say this. If Miami come and knock on my door or Utah come knock on my door, where are you going?
Oh, I would hope Miami,
okay.
Especially if you're a South Florida kid.
Now, what if I told you Miami didn't go knock on the door? See, that's what I'm hearing more than I'm like, wait a minute, man. Like the players that you are getting from other states aren't 5-star guys.
Yeah.
So
and
why don't you get the 3-star guys here?
And that's why, to Robbie's point and what you're saying about Barry's article, is I really don't care that they're missing out on the number one guy.
Right.
Unless
you ain't there yet.
Yes. Give me, though, a bunch of the other guys and build that, and I'm okay with it. And that's part of development. Here's another question, too, is why can't Miami get a quarterback? Like, I'm not giving up on Jaren Williams, because I think I've said even with you guys with filling in, I like Jaren a lot. I think the part of his game, the mental part of his game has to improve, the understanding that it takes a lot of work, it's not just skill. Those are things I know they're working on with as far as being a leader and quarterback. But why hasn't Miami been able, basically since Ken Dorsey, get a quarterback who's just a really good quarterback in college?
Can I tell you why? Because of all of the programs, they're trying to find that Brad Kaya sit in the pocket, the Ken Dorsey sit in the pocket and throw the ball in the pro style offense.
Nkosi, you know, Rick came in and Nkosi basically handpicked a guy like that.
But
Nkosi hasn't been the answer, obviously.
No. But okay. But like, yeah, man. The thing about high school and colleges, you got to get a bunch of them. You can't, because you don't know which one's going to work.
Yeah.
Like, it's not the NFL.
Well, this year they tried, you know, between Jaren and who was an
Army
All-American,
that up.
Nkosi.
They screwed
and then
that up.
The whole Tate Martell transfer portal, next thing you know, he's not even a quarterback. I mean, it's...
He couldn't throw.
Oh, but that's a kind of a problem for a quarterback. You're right. I'll never
forget. Well, neither could Tim Tebow. He won the Heisman.
Our photographer. Yeah, that's a good point. But he can run. Our photographer, one of our photographers at the station, who I love, David Silver, has been at the station for 30 years. He went to Canes practices early, and I didn't go to any of the early Canes practices when this, you know, when camp started. And I said, hey, you have good video of Tate Martell? And he said, well, what do you mean by good? I said, well, I mean, you know, like good stuff. We could do a nice video, a little video of him saying, hey, here's the transfer blood from Ohio State. I mean, I have video of him. I don't know how good it is. Well, what do you mean? He's like, he can't throw.
They told me at Ohio State.
I said, he's throwing the ball on the ground. His screen passes go at their feet. Anything longer than 10 yards, you're floating.
Conversely, you know what I was told in Ohio? I was told this, that if Joe Burrow hadn't gotten hurt, he would be the starting quarterback at Ohio State. The only reason why Justin Fields is because he got hurt. He broke his thumb. Yeah. So he was out. And then they named Justin Fields the quarterback. And boom.
A couple things. Our signal is back.
Yay.
And one last line for Barry Jacks before we go to break. This is the most glooming and dooming line that a local prep coach told him, that these kids don't know who Ed Reed is anymore. They've lost all the advantage of the history, which points out that none of these kids are even like barely alive when the last time the Canes were like in the dominance. They don't know who they are anymore.
If you don't know who Ed Reed is,
it's not the cool place to play anymore.
If you don't know who Ed Reed is, I don't want you coming to my school.
But wait, think about this, though. Like, okay, but the fans and what they think of Miami is from so long ago. that the kids are that are currently down here that probably weren't even born are looking at them like they're crazy because, yo, I wasn't alive. Like, you know, so you got to kind of resell it. You can't sell it like the old Miami. You have to try and find new ways.
Well, the new Miami didn't work either. So
the new Miami has one less win.
Let's get to 15 minutes of heat after this.
The rules that we live by here at UM. You can come to Miami, and for 3 or 4 years while you're at Miami, you can compete for championships every year. Or you can go somewhere else and get your ass kicked by Miami every year you play. And that's it.
2 years ago, Troy went to Baton Rouge and beat LSU, who right now is the number one team in the country. So things can change.
Or there's option three. You can come down to Miami and beat the brakes off Miami.
You can go to FIU. Come to Miami. Go to FIU. Kick Miami's ass.
Oh, boy.
I don't, you know.
Wait.
We get everything we deserve as a Canes fan.
Sure, you do. But at what point, here's all. Look, everybody talks trash to me about Michigan losing Ohio State. And I'm like, man, we've given up 113 points in 2 years. I can't say nothing.
What can you
right?
say? Yeah.
Conversely, if you say that to Miami, there's always a story, a reason why. Just shut up and eat it.
Oh, I trust me.
I don't think anyone's making excuses for losing FIU.
Well, yeah, it's Manny. That's the
Manny is, but none of the bros out there.
Administration hired too quickly. They didn't do a real search. You know, I've heard every excuse.
That board of trustees.
Book.
Stop acting like any coach wants to come down here and be your coach, too.
I told you this earlier. I was surprised when Mark Richt took the job.
I said, when they hired Mark Richt, I said, this is the highest caliber coach you have ever hired. Not the one that's had the most success, but I'm saying before he has gotten
the
here.
The resume
has,
that he came
from. Yes, exactly. Because Jimmy Johnson wasn't that when he got here.
Obviously from Howard to Jimmy to Dennis
right.
and those guys. They had
they went
coached,
cheap.
But
they went cheap.
They certainly weren't the that kind of move where you had a proven track record at major
right.
college football.
Exactly.
To be successful.
This was their step up.
And look, I was at an event last night at that Hard Rock event for the Orange Bowl, and everyone there, even though there a lot of the Orange Bowl committee folks were there, and you're talking about Florida and Virginia, the games, there were a lot of Canes fans there, and it was all the same conversation. What are the Canes going to do? What do they do about Manny Diaz? What's going on? And I, you know, and then the Gator fans giving you a hard time, and I'm like, you know what? Laugh it away. Joke away. It's okay.
Right.
I can't sit here and defend that and be like, oh, no, we're 4 plays away from being undefeated in rank and God knows like, what.
You can't go out in public.
All we need is a kicker, bro.
Well, yeah, well,
here, let me ask you how you feel about
FIU's this. FIU's kicker was pretty damn good.
Yeah. From Miami, also.
Ask me. Let me know how you feel about
Hialeah, this. I think.
Right. Robbie, you too. Jaron was with Trevor, Fields, and a couple other quarterbacks in the Elite 11. Dabo coached up his young quarterback. We didn't.
Look, I think part of Jaron's and the coach up aspect, I think is, I don't know if it applies to Jaron per se, but there is a coaching development. We talked about it in the last block a little bit when we touched on Canes. There have been a lot of talented players that have come through Miami in the last decade, even as they haven't been winning big. So why haven't those talented players develop better in college to win, not even big, but just to give you a solid, you know, win a couple of coastals, play for the ACC championship. The fact that 18, 19, 20 years into the ACC, Miami has never won an ACC title and only played for it once is embarrassing. There's no defense for it.
I would say this, is that when you look at a lot of the players that has happened to, it has to do with ego, right? Like, as a coach.
But do you allow it?
One of my favorite things I like seeing from a coach's perspective, and this is with John Harbaugh, with Belichick, with who's the coach at Pete Carroll, mm-hmm. right, is that you evolve as a coach based on the talent that you have. So if a guy is great at this, you find a way to incorporate that into your system. Now, for the last 10 years, right? Yeah. These coaches have come in strong-willed and with big egos and tried to run their system. So, one, they don't run a spread offense, so that's going to eliminate you from half of the quarterbacks in the country, right? And two, they keep trying to play a style of football that may not necessarily fit the players that they have. Because keep in mind, okay, you're trying to run a pro-style offense with two backs, hand the ball off, then, you know, do these things when every kid in high school is playing a wide open 10 catches a game, all this fast, quick, up-tempo style offense. So now you got to transition more players to a system that you want to run than to just have them have success and transition your system or program a little to what they do best.
And the thing is, too, there's so much of that, and there's so much of development, there's so much of talent, there's so much of scheme, whatever it is. And yet the one thing that drives me crazy watching the Canes over the years, in the last few years, and this year we saw more than anything, is just be where you need to be. As a coach, right, your job is you can't always you can't tackle for the players, right? You can't catch the ball for the players.
Sure.
But you can be in, you can put the players in the best position to tackle and make catches and run. So many guys running free, and
it looked like they didn't know what to do. But you have to be like, look, I've been on teams that were very smart. Mm-hmm. When I was in Minnesota, we had a system to where you would just call a formation, call a play, and everybody knew what to do based on where they were. So there was no design plays for people. It was just we ran one play out of 15 different formations. Right. And we only had a handful of plays. Yeah. It was really cool and it was fun to play in because you could be doing anything on the football field. And then I've played on teams where a coach has said, men, if we can't pick up this and we can't pick up this blitz, we're going to be max protect and throw and have three people in a route. How successful do you think we're going to be? So now I got to dumb it down because you guys are getting a quarterback killed. And I've been on teams like that.
And that's the thing, is what combination, what...
That's the coach's job.
That's the coach's job.
That's the coach's job.
That's where it does fall on coaching. So it's frustrating. It is. And to hear it from fans, and I get it. And look, everything Miami's getting right now, they deserve.
And I'm sure the Gator fans are letting us know. Sure, and even Ira, who's coming on with us next, he's a Gator. He might rub it in our face, too.
Let's just keep it to Heat Talk. 15 minutes of Heat. Ira joining us after this.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Pretend the like button is a photo of your ex. And step on it. Accidentally, of course. So like us on Facebook and Instagram at The Ticket Miami.
790 The Ticket Traffic.
Good morning in Miami. Southbound on 95 at the Turnpike. Three left lanes are blocked by a collision. Expect stop-and-go traffic back to Hollywood Boulevard with a half-hour delay. And southbound 95 Express at Northwest 62nd Street, there's an accident blocking the left lane. And in Broward, southbound Turnpike at Atlantic Avenue, there's an earlier crash causing major delays back to Boynton Beach Boulevard. That's traffic, where Hawk and Crowder take you home weekday afternoons beginning at 2 on AM 790 and FM 104.3 HD2, The Ticket, a radio.com sports station. Download the radio.com app now to listen to your favorite shows.
Oh, yes, the heat is on indeed for your 15 minutes of heat brought to you by BrandSmart USA. Buying the BrandSmart way for the holiday season means the lowest prices and the largest selection of TVs, appliances, mattresses, cell phones, and more. Visit your local BrandSmart USA store today. Maybe we should go to BrandSmart USA and buy some phone lines.
No, you can't buy phone lines. You can buy phones.
Buy something to get us to work. We're working on getting Ira Winderman from the South Florida Sun Sentinel on. If we can do it in this segment, we will. If not, we'll do it later to chat some Heat basketball. But we're going to start chatting it regardless right now, Leroy, because they've got a big one tomorrow against the LA Lakers. The Heat right now, as you wake up, you're driving to work now, you're getting ready for the day. Your Miami Heat are 18-6. Your Miami Heat are the number two seed in the Eastern Conference currently, and record-wise, the third best team in the NBA.
No, they have the third best record.
The third best
There's
team.
A difference.
No, they're the third best team.
Let me ask you a question.
The third best team.
Let me ask you
a question. I'll take them over anyone. Anyone. Except the Lakers.
The Clippers?
Give me this Heat roster. You can have Kawhi.
Hey,
give me this
stop
Heat roster.
Stop being a company man.
Give me this corporate. Give me this Heat. Give me this Heat.
I would say this. I would say that of the eight teams that get home field advantage, I think the Heat will be one of them. That being
Vital.
Said,
being a top four seed is important. Yeah,
that week. Being said, there's still a couple of issues, and I'm not saying that they aren't going to be able to handle it, but I'm just saying whenever there's a true big man, right? I need to see how they're going to attack that. Like, how are you going to attack Embiid? How are you going to attack, you know, Philly is really long, okay? So they're a unique situation.
It's a tough matchup for the Heat.
It's a tough matchup because they have, like, Miami has length. They have length, right?
They do take away a lot of the strengths for the Heat.
Right.
They take away because of their length.
So from that standpoint, that is one of the few situations that is just a matchup problem. But when I think about Boston, when I think about
Toronto,
when I think about Milwaukee, you know, they don't necessarily have a big, but they have guys who are close to it. Here, I'll say this. They have guys who are future Bams, being that when you look at Siakam, you hope that Bam can grow to be that level of player where he can play all over the court, right? And so from
he's getting there. Let me tell you,
he's getting there. Absolutely,
he's showing a lot of that ability.
Absolutely. And so from that standpoint, he's not there yet, but those are the teams that really.
Yeah,
so when you think of Milwaukee,
you just said the teams. I think the top five in the East. I think that's fair. You know, people get into Indiana's a good team. I get it, but they're a good team. You know, Oladipo being healthy is a factor for them. But I like the Heat in a position to where I'm buying in 25 games now. Starting tomorrow's 20 game 25 of the season, I'm buying in that this could be a top four team in the Eastern Conference, which as you mentioned is key for them, home court advantage. I think what's interesting about the Heat is they're playing now to the style that Eric Spoelstra's been wanting to play. Spo always talks about position list, right, which is important in guys in different roles. That's why starters don't matter as much. Look, the other day in that comeback win against the Hawks, Derrick Jones Jr., who was coming back from injury and hasn't been playing that much, logged significant minutes in closing time and then in overtime because of his ability to defend Trae Young, his ability, as you mentioned, being long, you know, providing that ability, athletic ability, and that reach defensively was a factor. Now, tomorrow, Derrick Jones Jr. may not play at all. Derrick Jones Jr. may play 8 minutes, non-impactful minutes where they don't really use him in certain situations. And there have been games where Duncan Robinson isn't used a lot, more early in the season than late.
He's more, well... Man,
but
he made 10 threes.
Yeah, but then he comes back and does that. Look,
right.
Tyler Hero wins a game for you essentially the other day against the Bulls and then comes back the other night and he wasn't a factor. He didn't shoot well. Spo didn't go to him as much because he wasn't on his game because you had Kendrick Nunn scoring 36 and Duncan Robinson scoring 34 on top of Jimmy and Bam getting triple doubles.
That was wow.
Yeah. This team has a certain depth night in and night out that this is why I said it's the most fun, entertaining team that we've seen with the Heat outside of the Big Three era, maybe ever, but certainly in a while, because at any moment, a guy can do that and take over a game. A Duncan Robinson go and hit 10 threes. A Tyler can take over a game the way he did. A Kendrick Nunn can score 36. A Bam can get a triple-double. I'm not even mentioning Jimmy Butler because he's your guy anyways. You know he's the star going in. Derek Jones Jr. can give you a big dunk. Kelly Olynyk has had productive games. KO wasn't good the other night, but he's had games where he's gone out and hit big shots and scored you 15, 20 points and give you production. Go down the list of Heat players. This is a really deep, talented roster.
It is. It is. I just those are the teams that bother me. Philly, I think you can get Philly because they're shooting. You might have better outside shooting than they do, and if you have a good game plan for you don't even need a good game plan for Embiid, but you do need one for the point guard. You got to find a way to not let him get in the paint. Yeah. And so from that standpoint, there's defensive schemes that you can throw at them to maybe take one of those guys out, right? And so go from there. Not really worried about Toronto, although – I mean, basically, Toronto is what they were before they had, you know,
they're a good team.
Kawhi.
They're a good team, but it's hard without, you know, with Kawhi, they're a championship team. Without Kawhi, they're a very good team.
Very good competitive team.
They're going to be they'll be a tough out in the playoffs.
I can't figure out Boston.
Yeah. Boston, you know, Boston's a unique team. You know, I like that team. I mean, obviously, with Kemba, it's a different structure of a team, but that's none of those teams really. Philly probably matchup wise is probably the toughest, because the one thing about the Heat that's been bizarre, and it's been that way for a couple of years now, even when they weren't even that good, they have a way of defending Giannis. They keep him, you know, they make him to try to take that mid-range longer jump shot. They try to keep him out away from the basket, which obviously, you know, with him with his go-go gadget arms that he can just go up there, and you got to keep him away from the basket. They've done a good job defensively. You know, one guy we haven't talked about today, Leroy, in the four or five conversations we've had about the Heat.
Breaking news.
Oh, what do we got? Wait,
I don't know if this is going to work, but I found an ulterior message. We may have Ira on right now. Ira, are you there?
I'm letting you die alone on this one, Robbie.
Damn it. He could hear us, but he's not. You know. Sorry, carry on with the conversation. I'll get back to work.
I feel like that's Robbie in a nutshell. That sequence was Robbie in a nutshell. We haven't talked about Jimmy Butler. And what's interesting to me is I said this to someone the other day, and I can't remember who because I'm getting old, but I said, I know that the numbers may not pop out all the time to the superstar numbers. Obviously, he's had three triple-doubles in the last week or so, so he's been certainly producing a lot all over the place. But as far as, like, you know, he hasn't had a 50-point game. He's not that kind of player that's going to do that a lot. But he's actually exceeded my expectations. Am I crazy to think that?
No, because here's what, when you got Jimmy Butler, you're probably thinking we have a bona fide scorer and a guy who can play some defense and a guy who was Heat culture and when how he worked and whatever. But all the other things, the facilitating, you know, there's a few things that complete his game.
Can I tell you the thing that gets me the most?
What?
That I'm most impressed with? His ability to get to the free throw line.
Right.
Which is not a sexy topic because it's boring. I get it, free throws. But when you're down, right? Say you're down 6 or 7.
That's how you get back
right?
in. That's it. Stop clock.
Exactly. Stop the clock and score that. And he does it. There have been games, especially in the last week or so, week and a half, where they've been down 5 or 6 and you feel like the game might be slipping. And then boom, Jimmy gets to the line 8 times in 2 minutes, makes 7 of those free throws. And then all of a sudden, you're not hitting shots. You look and you're 3 of your last 12, but you're only down 2 or 3.
Right.
Because Jimmy's getting stopping the clock. And that's something they've been missing. Previous Heat teams, you know what would happen when they're down 5? Within 2 minutes, they miss another 4 or 5 shots. They're down 12.
Right.
And it's not happening with this team. And Jimmy Butler's a big reason why. We're going to get Ira Pony Express.
I think we're probably going to push it to tomorrow. Hopefully with our phones, because he has to go to Heat practice right now.
He can't do it for the Heat. Yeah, the Heat have a practice today.
So close, man.
Did you Skype it? What did you do?
It was something along those lines. I don't want to reveal it.
I don't even want to know what kind of WhatsApp. Put it this way.
I was talking to him. I was talking to him here, but you guys, the problem is you guys couldn't hear him.
I mean, we could have done like a translation. You just could have told us what I was.
I don't ever want him translating for me, because he'll be doing his own radio show over there.
That's your 15 minutes of Heat. Your headlines are next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.